Aeneas does his best to prevent the war from resuming full force, but he cannot manage to keep it from breaking out again. Turnus, on the other hand, hopes that renewed fighting will work to his advantage. He doesn't seem to regret the breaking of the truce at all. And so we have a kind of contrast between their two characters here. Aeneas being horrified by the breaking of the truce and doing his best to keep war from breaking back out, Turnus wanting to take advantage of the broken truce. Aeneas tries to reason with his soldiers. He tries to calm them down. He tries to keep them from retaliating, despite the fact that the truce was broken when a Rutulian shot a Trojan ally. So Aeneas is the one who has more reason to be angry. Still, he tries to keep his men from going back into battle. But he's wounded by an arrow, and he has to leave the field. Aeneas's absence gives Turnus new hope for victory, and Turnus fights brilliantly in complete disregard of the truce he has sworn. He simply forgets about the truce and goes right back into fighting. Now, with Venus's help, Aeneas is cured of his arrow wound and returns to the battle. As he returns to the field, Aeneas says goodbye to his son Ascanius. And this is, remarkably enough, the only time in the entire Aeneid where we see Aeneas speak directly to Ascanius. He talks about Ascanius. Virgil talks about Ascanius. Ascanius talks a good bit in the Aeneid. But this is the only place where we see Aeneas actually speak to his son. And he gives him a very short, rather formal farewell speech, saying basically that he hopes Ascanius will be luckier than he is, if indeed he is killed. And Virgil says, oddly, that Aeneas kisses his son through his helmet. Now, that's a physical impossibility. You can't kiss someone through a metal helmet. So the only time in the Aeneid where we see Aeneas show direct affection for Ascanius, the affection is stymied, is made impossible by the warlike helmet that Aeneas is wearing. I think this detail, again, is supposed to underline Aeneas's essential isolation, separation. If you remember, as we've talked about before, he's separated from his mother Venus by the fact that she's a goddess and he is a human. He's separated now from his father Anchises by death. And in this strange little image of him trying to kiss his son goodbye through his helmet, he's literally separated from showing affection to Ascanius by the armor of war that he has to wear in this scene. Aeneas goes back into the battle and looks for Turnus on the battlefield. But Juturna protects her brother. She disguises herself as Turnus's charioteer and keeps Turnus away from Aeneas. Venus prompts Aeneas to directly attack the walls of the Latin city. He tried to keep the truce from dissolving, but once it has dissolved, Aeneas is prompted by Venus to attack the Latin city directly. And as he does so, the Latins are utterly terrified by his onslaught. Aeneas rages against the walls of their city, calling on Latinus as a treaty breaker, accusing Latinus, reminding him that he, Aeneas, had sworn a truce, that it was broken, and now that he's been forced to fight, Aeneas calls upon the gods to witness that he did not break the truce. The Latins are terrified by this, and Amata in particular assumes that Turnus must have been killed, that if Aeneas is this close to the walls of the city, it must mean that Turnus was killed, whereupon Amata hangs herself. So in despair over the supposed death of Turnus and the fact that Lavinia will now have to marry Aeneas, Amata hangs herself. Remember, as I said when I was discussing the beginnings of Book 7, that just as Aeneas' arrival in Carthage brings disaster to Dido, so Aeneas' arrival in Latium brings disaster to the kindly Latinus. Even once the war is finished, Latinus is now a widower. He's lost many of his citizens. His life has been terribly disrupted by the advent of Aeneas. Lavinia, too, has had her life terribly disrupted. She is overwhelmed with grief at her mother's death. The last time we see Lavinia in the Aeneid, we're told that she is tearing at her hair and her cheeks with her nails in mourning for her mother, that she's distraught with grief over her mother. And that's the last picture we get of Lavinia. So we know that she's destined to be Aeneas's bride. No one ever asks her how she feels about that. But at this point, she's just lost her mother. Her mother has just preferred to die rather than see Lavinia married to Aeneas. That has always seemed to me a very ominous statement about the marriage from Lavinia's point of view. Lavinia, too, can be seen as one of those innocent bystanders who has to bear a good bit of the molus, the burden of founding Rome.